8 weeks in the books. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball today on CBSSports.com. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior and Scott White. Guys, I don't know how to start the show today. So much happened over the last 3 weeks. Like, what's the big, huge, can't-miss storyline?
I don't know that there is one. I mean, I guess the Strasburg thing's happened since we last talked,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
That is a sure. big one. Beltre. That's a big one.
That's pretty big.
Braves pitchers, other than Julio Teheran, are really good.
It seems that way.
He's like the worst pitcher on their staff. What's going on here?
How about the debut of Chi-Chi? Just because it's fun to say Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi, yeah, he was good for baseball, not necessarily great for fantasy baseball. But the Rangers will take that. We got a lot to talk about.
We had a Chi-Chi no-no for a while.
We did. Fantasybaseball at CBSI.com is our email address. Fantasybaseball at CBSI.com. Make sure you watch Daily Fantasy Live tonight and tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. So we'll get to emails. We'll get to DFS a little bit later. We'll look at the most added and most drop lists. Some injury updates for you. Great starting pitching performances throughout the weekend, especially Friday night. Friday night was just ridiculous with some great performances from guys maybe you didn't expect it from them, and obviously some good hitters, too.
Well, yeah, not just pitchers. Troy Tulowitzki homered twice Friday. Josh Hamilton homered twice.
Oh, Hamilton. You know what? Let's go to Tweet of the Day. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. It's from the Atomic Dork on Twitter. Perfect for this show. It says, Dear Rondon, Rendon, and Rodon, are you guys buying or selling the resurgence of Josh Hamilton? 88% owned.
Not yet. Not yet, though I would say in a five outfielder league, he absolutely needs to be owned. Both the home runs Friday came off a knuckleballer, Stephen Wright, who, you know, throws slow. And Josh Hamilton talked about how he likes hitting knuckleballers. So I'm a little worried about his ability to catch up with faster stuff and drive it out of the park. And no reason for those worries to be eliminated just yet. So I want to see a little more.
In terms of a full-blown resurgence, I completely agree with Scott, but I'll just say that already Hamilton's exceeded my expectations, because I really figured it was going to take him a long time to get back into this kind of form and maybe not even reach that at all. So I'm encouraged.
I think the theme of the weekend, as we move on from Josh Hamilton, to me, the emergence of some pitchers, whether or not it's legit, you've got, and these are guys that are owned in barely any leagues. Williams Perez, Mike Foltynewicz is fairly owned, but he's only 40% owned. Adam Warren's been pitching very well. I'll just take a look at the deep league list here. The Reds rotation's in flux a little bit right now as Jason Marquis is out. So do you want to pick up maybe a Raisel Iglesias or a Michael Lorenzen? Despaigne was good again. You got Chi-Chi Gonzalez, as you said. Let's try to make sense of it. Charlie Morton's pitching well. It's like a whole bunch of guys are pitching really well. Is there someone out there that you guys feel like absolutely must pick up?
Yes, Foltynewicz.
Okay, well, he is the most owned, but yes. So you go ahead and talk about him. I think you bid $8 for him. You outbid me for him in one of our Roto leagues. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's coming into a one-start week where I think he's actually a must-start. And I thought that even before his start against the Giants, which wasn't great, but better than I expected, to be honest, given that I thought that wouldn't be a terrific matchup for Foltynewicz, given that his weakness does seem to be left-handed hitters. But against the Diamondbacks, who don't really have great left-handed hitters, I think he could have a great start. And he's been getting the strikeouts, the control has really been very good lately, which I think is probably the thing that people worried the most about with him.
Mm-hmm.
So last I looked, it's probably gone up. He was about 40%.
Yeah, it's right around 40.
But I should
double check.
Quite a bit higher than that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree. He's the one of that group that excites me too. I picked him up in a league. Yeah, I think you kind of undersold this last start at San Francisco. I guess he took a loss, which hurt his fantasy production, but 2 earned runs and 6 2/3 innings, 8 strikeouts to 1 walk. That's his third straight start with at least 7 strikeouts and only 1 walk.
I'll agree. I actually thought he'd given up 3 or 4 runs. My memory's bad, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good start. So I'm even more encouraged.
Adam Warren is pitching well, and I think he's going to stay in the Yankees rotation. That's not a certainty, but it would appear that way. There it looks like Chris Capuano's turn in the rotation is going to be taken by Masahiro Tanaka. He's really becoming just a much better pitcher, and he's RP eligible. So do you guys think Warren is under-owned? He's about 17% owned.
Maybe because of the RP eligibility, I've made the case to pick up lesser RP eligible pitchers in points leagues, but at the same time, I just don't feel like there's a lot there with Warren. He does have a string of quality starts here now, but the peripherals are just lackluster, and it's hard for me to get excited about him.
All right, Eduardo Rodriguez is the most added pitcher. Let's forget about Warren now. Go back to Fultonevich. Who would you guys rather have, Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox or Mike Fultonevich of the Braves?
Ooh. I'll say Rodriguez. I think he's must-own. I know it was just one start, but I think he's the left-handed version of Noah Syndergaard. After Syndergaard's first start, I would have called him must-own too.
I'll agree with Scott. If I'm going to judge this by my actions, I probably should say Fultonevich because I've gone after him more aggressively. But I do think Rodriguez is the better pickup.
We'll be talking about who you guys added and dropped over the weekend in just a little bit. But let's get to the big news here on this Monday morning. Steven Strasburg, he left Friday's start at Cincinnati with a neck tightness, and now he's on the DL. And there was talk about, so this kind of explained things to me. They talked about him altering his mechanics because of an ankle injury in spring training. I guess he was pitching hurt all year, guys.
Yeah, it does make more sense. So, in a way, it's encouraging because when he does come back, assuming that he's not rushed back, then you can expect the guy that we thought we were going to have back in April.
Let's look at third base. Adrian Beltre out at least 2 weeks with a sprained thumb. Here are some third basemen who have been added recently. We have Jung Ho Gong, who is 55% owned. Trevor Plouffe. How the Twins are in first place, by the way.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Unsustainable, I would think. But
I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't know how they're doing it, but I think they theoretically could be better. Because I thought Hughes would be better. I thought Arcia would be a factor.
Well, do you have much confidence in Gibson or
Pelfrey?
Pelfrey. I think Trevor May. I still think that's a pretty lousy 3-5, and it's not like 1 and 2. I don't feel like they're a legit 1 and 2.
Their pitching stinks, and their hitting hasn't even been good.
I guess I do think there's upside in that 3-4-5. Look, I don't think they're going to be great. But if you recall, before the season, we were doing predictions. First of all, I picked the Indians, who are playing better, but that hasn't gone that well. But I said I thought the Twins could finish anywhere from 2-5 because I do think the pitching can be better than it's been, and I think the hitting can too.
Yeah, the hitting has been okay, but it's been mostly like Dozier and Plouffe and Hunter. Nobody else is really doing anything for them. It's amazing month. And speaking of an amazing month, just quickly, Jason Kipnis, what was the stat? He had 50 hits and 30 runs in May. And I think he's the first since Jimmy Rollins in 2005 to have a 50-30 May or a 50-30 month. But that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, more third basemen who are being added. If you want to replace Beltre, we got Gong, we got Plouffe, Forsyth, Alex Guerrero, Justin Turner. Now, I added Justin Turner. I think I added him.
You did.
Okay. In a roto league. I believe in Guerrero over Turner, but Puig could be back soon. And, like, I don't think Guerrero should be owned in 46% more leagues than Turner. Guerrero is 65% owned, and Turner is 19% owned. And when it's all said and done, it could be Turner who ends up with that third base job. And he's still, you know, doing enough.
It seems to be, certainly in the present, Turner.
Well, they're both playing. Just Guerrero's playing left and Turner's playing third. But that's since the...
They still have Van Slyke there. I worry a little more about Guerrero's playing time than Turner's, at least right now.
Those are actually some decent options. Gong, Plouffe, Forsyth, Guerrero, Turner, yeah. Matt Duffy, Mark Reynolds, if you want to go a little deeper. Any thoughts on that group?
I own Beltre in two leagues. One, I already had Zimmerman and A-Rod, so didn't have to worry about there. But in the other, I had to pick somebody up. And the guy I went with is Plouffe, who is the most owned of the players you listed off, so maybe that's not a huge surprise. But I'm not... I don't know that what he's doing right now is entirely unsustainable, and it's enough to make him a legit mixed league starter, I feel like. Gong and Forsythe are also ownable, I feel like. Those would be second and third choices.
Haven't we seen this from Plouf?
Sure we have. But I don't feel like I don't feel like batting average is carrying him in any way. So in any way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think I think he's been more consistent this year than I've given him credit for, and I don't know. I feel pretty comfortable with him filling in for Beltre.
Oh, he really is playing great. Hey, yeah, maybe you ride the hot streak. You only need him hopefully for 2 weeks, and maybe Beltre will come back. I'll take the over on the 2 weeks, by the way.
He scored... I'm using points because it's easy. It's an easy way to compare things. He scored a dozen or more points in 6 of the last 7 weeks. So, I mean, for a fill-in third baseman. Right. And then obviously there's several 20-point weeks in there also. But at least a dozen in 6 of the last 7. That's consistency.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, Jonathan Lucroy expected to return today. Anthony Rendon could be back within a week. I don't know. I haven't seen an update on Devin Travis. I know he had some shoulder pain over the weekend. Have you guys
seen
anything?
Yeah, just that there's a setback, and I don't know how far that sets him back.
Jose Abreu has been bothered by a finger injury, but he's expected back Tuesday. Are you guys concerned about Abreu's performance?
I can't say that I am.
Okay, I'm just throwing in the injury now. Maybe it explains the slump.
Dates back a while, so.
Yeah,
possibly.
Tell me if you guys agree with this. It seems like when players play hurt, and Victor Martinez is not an example, but Andrew McCutchen is, when players play hurt and they don't go on the DL, I kind of feel like they eventually get over that injury. Usually.
Well, yeah. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go on the DL. Sometimes they just play hurt all year, kind of like Braun last year.
Yeah,
that's true.
It just varies. It's worth knowing about, though.
It is. Strike what I said from the record. Adam Jones missed 2 straight games with an ankle injury. It doesn't appear to be serious. You have some time tonight before you have to set your lineup. The Rangers called up an infielder, Han Solo, Albert Hanser, Alberto.
Did you say Han Solo?
I did. Does Hanser Alberto matter?
In AL only, he does. And just because it looks like he's primed for some playing time now with the Beltre injury, because my guess is, and the speculation that I've seen, is that Rosales will cover over at third, and so that Alberto can continue to start at second.
Some trade rumors. John Heyman reporting that Aroldis Chapman could be available at the trade deadline. Who would you look for in the Cincinnati bullpen if Chapman got moved?
That would explain why I saw some pickups over the weekend.
Who did you see picked up?
Jumbo Diaz, and there was one other. I think it was...
J.J. Hoover?
Hoover, yeah.
I don't know that Tony Cingrani would be...
I take that back, it was Cingrani.
...completely out of left field choice either.
Yeah, interesting. And so, the Cubs... sorry, Scott. And the Cubs are trying to acquire Ben Zobras before the trade deadline, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, which strikes me as pretty interesting. If they acquired Zobrist? It's not like Addison Russell's been so bad.
Left field is what I read.
Okay.
With, the possibility of moving him around the diamond as needed.
Yeah, that makes more sense then.
I guess bad news for Kyle Schwarber, because was kind of hoping maybe he'd fill that spot in left field eventually.
They seem to want him to catch, though, right? I mean, I guess starting him out in left field wouldn't preclude him from catching down the line, but yeah, I didn't even know he was on the radar.
Sean Doolittle back on the DL with a shoulder sprain. Addison Reed could regain the closer's role for the Diamondbacks. How about that? And Jason Marquis out of the Reds rotation. Johnny Cueto should start Tuesday for the Reds. So what's going on with the Reds? Both rookies going to be in the rotation right now or what? Well, actually, forgetting DeSclafani, I think he's still a rookie too.
Right, but Iglesias and Lorenzen, looks like they both got jobs now.
Cool.
Doesn't mean I want them.
No. Well, I think Iglesias be a good pickup. I'm not sold on Lorenzen.
Yeah, Iglesias, he's not very owned. He's owned in less than 20% of leagues. He strikes out everybody, but he also gives up a lot of runs. He's a guy, if you had, you'd be fine dropping him for... Would you drop him for, like, a Williams Perez?
Who? Iglesias?
Iglesias, yeah.
I wouldn't.
Probably not. It's hard for me to not consider the RP eligibility Iglesias offers. I think all positions being equal, I would, actually.
How you guys doing in fantasy so far through 8 weeks?
Mostly good.
I see you're doing great. Doing great in the roto leagues, for sure.
Yeah. The head-to-head leagues I'm not doing, which is kind of reverse.
Oh, Melchior beat White 301 to 293. That's a slugfest. Those are some high scores in the podcast league.
In the podcast league, yeah, and I think I'm 3-5. How many weeks has it been? Eight?
Eight, yeah.
I think I'm 3-5.
Because I think we're both 3-4 going into that one.
But I'm the third highest scorer, so I still feel pretty good. I feel like I'm doing well in that league, even though my record indicates otherwise.
The trend is how you're doing in daily, too.
Yeah.
Where's Al in the scoring? The top three scorers in that league are me, Heath, and Scott. That's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Come on, Al, join the party.
Am I embarrassing the company?
No, you're 4-4. You're still doing well.
Yeah, but the point total.
Don't worry about the point total. Point total doesn't matter, Al.
I got time to bring that up.
So, Scott, as you've flipped the script with the Roto thing here, you're doing better this year in Roto than you did last year. Any reason why?
I don't think so. It's mostly the three I'm doing the best in were auctions. And I feel, two of the ones, the AL and NL only auctions, which are 12 teams, 30 man roster, so very, very deep. And I'm running away with the AL. I had been leading in NL, but I just dropped to second place over the weekend. I do think I did a better job of, I had a better approach to those, more evenly distributing my dollars in a deep single league format where there's nothing on the waiver wire. So, and not getting as many rookies that I was gambling on getting called up later in the year and just taking zeros in those spots. That's a good way to finish in fourth or fifth or sixth place in those formats, I feel like. So I was a little more careful who I spent the money on. And then in the mixed league, I didn't try to bid somebody up on Jerko and have to pay $30 for him. That's key to
good.
My success in that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good strategy.
I recommended that
in one of our strategy podcasts earlier. I'm glad you listened to that advice. Don't pay over $25 for Jerko in a mixed league.
No. Even if you think somebody else is going to.
Right.
Don't assume it.
Yeah, I think I bid $1 for Jerko in that league, and that was that was a horrible mistake. So we got some standouts to talk about. Carlos Martinez, last three starts, 20 and a third, 10 hits, no runs, no earned runs, 7 walks and 21 strikeouts at the Mets and home against Arizona and the Dodgers. Are we seeing a breakout from Carlos Martinez?
Yeah, I think we are. I thought so, and then there were a couple of bad starts and thought, okay, well, this is just the same old inconsistency, but those look like the outliers now, and I think this is a breakout year for Carmart.
How about Chichi Gonzalez of Texas and Williams Perez of the Braves? Doesn't sound like you guys are too hot on Williams Perez.
No, but more so than I was this time last week. I'm not sure exactly how he's been doing it, but he's proven to be a good ground ball pitcher, and as is Gonzalez, by the way.
I'm telling you, watch Perez pitch. Like, the way he throws the ball is just like really unnatural to me.
I was watching.
So he'll be really good.
Seems to do well for him.
He'll be really good until he blows out his arm.
Well, at 8% ownership, I don't worry so much about injury risk. I just think, I think the deception's notable.
Well, how would you rather have him or Bolsinger?
I'd rather have him, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Because I was going to say Bolsinger, so I know the ownership is hugely, there's a huge gap in ownership between those two.
Yeah. Taijuan Walker, great start on Friday against Cleveland. 8 shutout innings, 2 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts for Walker. He's owned in less than 60% of leagues. But overall, bad year, 6.18 ERA. What do you think of Taijuan Walker?
I've really been down on him. And this really doesn't change that much for me. I mean, he's clearly got upside. If he puts 2 or 3 of these together, then I'll have missed the boat on him. But I feel like he's got a long way to go to establish that he can be consistent.
He had a start April 27th, 7 innings, 1 run, 0 earned, 5 strikeouts. It was a great start. The next time out, 8 runs, 7 earned, and 3 innings. So, yeah, consistency. Looking for that.
Would you rather have Taijuan Walker or Lance McCullers?
Yeah, I'd rather have McCullers.
Me too.
Taijuan Walker or Mike Wright? And do you think Mike Wright stays in the rotation? It seems like Bud Norris is definitely coming back to the rotation.
Right, and that's why I'd take Walker in that scenario.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that's dumb, by the way. He's the Jason Marquis of the Orioles.
Who
not,
is?
Not
Bud
that
Norris?
You're not taking Walker is not dumb. It's dumb that Mike
They're
Wright
right
could
out.
Lose his spot.
Well, even if we knew Wright was staying in the Orioles rotation, I would actually still take Walker.
Oh, well, that's fair. Separate thought, though. Just wanted to say it was dumb. I know they're monitoring his innings and all that, but Norris hurting them when he's healthy.
Norris wasn't bad last year.
He's and bad.
If this, what was it, bronchitis?
Bronchitis,
or
yeah.
Some kind of respiratory illness. That's been, if that had something to do with his pitching, because apparently he's been fighting it all season.
Well, that would definitely have, and I didn't realize it was all season, that would explain a lot.
You ever have bronchitis?
I have, yeah, and it lingers, and it really does sap you.
You ever have mono?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Al's had it all.
I have. Yeah, I had a bad case of mono in college.
Did you have to drop out?
I did have to retake a bunch of, because I had to not drop out of school, but I had to basically take the semester off and restart all those classes.
In 3 sentences, describe mono to me, because I've never had it.
Complete awful sluggishness.
I said 3 sentences.
Oh, 3 sentences.
Yeah, one word.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Very stylistic.
Period. Yeah. All right. Well, the story from Mono that kind of just explains how just it wears you out. Made my way. I was living in a group house and was in a bedroom upstairs.
This sounds like it's going to be a lot longer than 3
That's
sentences.
That's fine. I'm so invested right now.
Yeah. And I feel like the buildup is not going to justify the punch.
Oh, you're wasting sentences.
Went down the stairs. You know, this was just a big effort just to do that. Made myself a bologna sandwich because that was basically like what I could, you know, muster up the energy to do. And dropped the little jar of mustard on the plate, which catapulted the bologna against the wall. And I just like went back upstairs and went to sleep.
Wait, no
bologna for someone else to find.
No cheese on the sandwich?
I think I was going very minimal there.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
You know, just, you know.
No energy for cheese, Adam. Come on.
Not even worth eating if there's no cheese on it. I got one more standout I just wanted to say. Paul Goldschmidt is amazing. 9-for-14 with 3 home runs this weekend. And he reached base 7 times on Sunday, a franchise record. That was a long game. But he's now the number one hitter in points leagues, ahead of Bryce Harper, believe it or not, Paul Goldschmidt.
So that's the guy you want to talk about how amazing he was this weekend, as opposed to a certain Cincinnati Reds third baseman.
Yeah, he's good too.
4 straight multi-hit games, 3 home runs in them, 667 with 4 home runs in his last 4 games. He is, what is he? I'll tell you in a second. I'm sure he's the number one third. Oh, he's not. I guess Josh Donaldson has been so hot too that
6 home runs, 6 home runs in 6 games for Donaldson.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Look, let's talk Frazier though, because I guess my fear with him is, he's on an absolute tear right now, but first half of last year, second half of last year, pretty different players, like from great to just kind of and kind of mirrored what he did. 2012, Frazier was 273, 331, 498. 2013, he was terrible. And then 2014, he bounced back. So I don't know. I see a pattern of streakiness for him, like extreme streakiness, which worries me a little because when we did our first two rounds, I don't think any of us had Frazier in our first two rounds of our redraft a couple of weeks ago. What about now?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't change it for me. I'm with you on that. I think he'll probably go really cold at some point. That doesn't mean I would sell him high. It doesn't mean that I don't think that he's probably not too far outside the top 24 overall. First two rounds, that is.
Yeah.
But, I don't really buy into this as something he's going to do all year.
I don't know. I think you're not giving him enough credit here because the strikeout rate is significantly down. The walk rate is up a good bit. His BABIP's 277. Now, I know he has a lot of home runs, so those aren't helping the BABIP.
No, it doesn't affect it one way or the other, so.
Right. I don't think he's going to come away this season with close to 50 home runs, which I'm sure he's on pace to do now, but at the same time, I do think receiving a step forward even from last year, and last year was an awfully good year.
Yeah, it sure was.
I don't really see him on a level with Donaldson. I think maybe an interesting question is, would I trade him for Rendon right now? And that's something to think about, because I've got Rendon ranked higher, but now that I've just kind of, the idea has popped into my mind.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do it. Sticking with Frazier. Donaldson is about the only third baseman I wouldn't trade for Frazier right now. So I'm taking Frazier over Arenado, over Chris Bryant, who I like a lot. Obviously, over Carpenter.
I'd say he's probably, for me, on a par with Arenado.
Okay.
Maybe I need to drop Rendon to my rankings.
I need to start getting Todd Frazier in my FanDuel lineup because he's awesome. You need to go to FanDuel right now. Entry fees start at just $1. You pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no commitment longer than just one day. And we've got a live show for you at 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com to help you with your FanDuel lineup. But FanDuel is home to more winners than any other daily fantasy site. If you want to win some money, go to FanDuel right now and sign up. And if you want to earn some free money, use our offer code CBSPOD. CBSPOD, sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. If you go to FanDuel.com, and use the offer code CBSPOD. We'll come back to that later. Who'd you guys add? Who are you excited to add over the weekend other than Fulton Nevich for Al?
Well, I did pick up Eduardo Rodriguez in Tout Wars, making up for all the 12-team leagues where I whiffed on him. And I had to pay, it was Vickery bidding, so actually I bid 38, and I think I wound up paying, I want to say 33. and I'm good with that. And let's see, I picked up Will Venable in a 12-team mixed roto. I'm trying to think pitching-wise. I picked up Jaime Garcia for his two-start week in a couple leagues. So I'd say those were the main additions.
I picked up Preston Tucker in a couple 5 outfielder leagues because it seems like not only has he emerged as an everyday player for Houston with good numbers, but they're trusting him to bat third in their lineup, which I know is a big deal to you, Adam. And he's a left-handed hitter, and he started, oh my goodness, look at this. He started 6 straight games, 4 of them against left-handed pitchers. So
I saw that your claim of Tucker and had instant buyer's remorse on Venable because it was the same league.
Yeah.
And it was one of those deals. I need an outfielder, and I kind of scanned, you know, the free agent list and scanned in my mind what I thought was out there. And I completely overlooked Tucker, and he would have been better than Venable.
Yeah, I'm starting him over Josh Hamilton this week, in part because the Rangers face 3 lefties, I think. But I would say those two are probably about on par for me in terms of how ownable they should be, how owned they should be.
I don't know how owned Billy Burns is, but
oh yeah,
you got to get
him.
Yeah,
I picked him up too. Yeah.
Well, you didn't pick him up in our roto leagues because this guy's got him.
Yep. Who has you already had him?
I had him from a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, he's hitting well. He stole 2 bases on Sunday. And I'll look up his ownership in just a second.
In a roto league, I'd prioritize him over Tucker, which I guess means also Josh Hamilton.
And you'd rather have him than Hamilton?
Yeah, in a roto league.
Let's guess his ownership percentage. See, I have the slowest computer ever, as everybody knows, so it takes me 15 seconds to type in a player's name and get his ownership percentage. Well, right, so I have
Billy
it
Burns?
Now. Yeah, Billy Burns, what do you think it is?
I would say 45.
Scott?
I have it in front of me. So.
Oh, you cheater. It's 38. 38%.
Yeah.
Pretty good guess, Al.
Thank you.
Any other big-time additions? I did add Williams Perez.
Tanner Roark, where he was still available, yeah. I added him, which included some roto leagues, because now not only is Pfister, his status up in the air, but now Steven Strasburg's on the DL, so that's even more of a chance for Roark to stick.
Boy, where are the strikeouts, though? I mean, yeah. I get it in the head-to-head points leagues where he's RP eligible, but in roto leagues, are you turned off by the horrible strikeouts?
Not really. I mean, I assume he's going to be the same kind of pitcher in terms of strikeouts that he was last year. I know he wasn't getting strikeouts really as a reliever, and I guess he just had one in this start. I don't know. I'm not going to freak out over the strikeouts yet because it's only two starts.
Roark or Vogelsong?
Roark.
Roark or Bolsinger?
Roark.
Roark.
Roark or Lance McCullers?
I'll go McCullers there.
And Roto, I'll go McCullers. Head to head, I'd go Roark.
Gosh, I wanted to sing Lance McCullers to True Colors, as was suggested by a listener, but I don't have the energy, guys. I can't sing today.
Do you have mono?
You have mono?
I don't know. I'll let you know when I make my bologna sandwich later. More injuries, news, and notes. James Paxton's on the DL with a strained tendon in his finger. Mike Montgomery could start in his place Tuesday against the Yankees.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. His numbers weren't great, I don't think, in AAA.
They haven't been great for a long time.
I think they're better than what we're used to seeing. Could look them up, but...
Oh, yeah, they're not half bad. Yeah. For the PCL, 3.74 ERA, 1.17 whip, 8 strikeouts per 9.
All I saw was the ERA in the story. Yeah. Yasiel Puig could start a rehab assignment this week. Albert Pujols will strictly DH for a while as he deals with a groin injury. Matt Wieter is pushed back his timeline. Might not be back by June 5th after all. Denard Span left yesterday's game with a knee injury. That's been bothering him for a few days, so check on him. David Peralta left yesterday's game with a finger injury. Adam Lind's going to sit today most likely with a back injury. Scott Feldman could be out 6 weeks after arthroscopic knee surgery. Chris Davis tore the meniscus in his knee. Pittsburgh might remove Jeff Locke from the rotation. Atlanta prospect Jose Peraza is playing some center field. Do we need to know about that? Do we need to add him to our radar?
No, because Cameron Maben's doing so well. I think they're thinking more in terms of really late in the year, next year, which... They're convinced, I guess, Jace Peterson looks like a legit everyday player in the big leagues. I'm not. I don't know what they're seeing exactly, but oh well. that's the Braves fan in me coming out and being annoyed by this possibility.
Brandon Morrow will make a rehab start Tuesday, and Bud Norris could start for Baltimore Wednesday.
And back to the Scott Feldman thing. His replacement will be Brett Oberholzer. That's somebody else I added. Over the weekend.
You like Oberholzer.
I really do. I think he's very underrated.
Now, where did you see this Wieters thing, Adam? Because I'd heard that he was speeding up his timetable, and I just checked his page to make sure.
Yeah, he caught yesterday, I think.
There wasn't anything new that I missed. And
I don't remember where I saw it, but I definitely saw it that he might not be back. But it didn't mean it wasn't going to be back in, you know, in another few days. I don't think it's anything significant if it's a setback at all. So maybe I shouldn't have included it. But
no, I just want to make sure we're for all the Wieters owners out there.
Yeah, I own him in like two or three leagues. I thought I was going to be missing him for like 3 weeks.
Well, you're not starting him this week because even if he meets June 5th timetable, that's just half the week.
Yeah, but no.
Hopefully next week.
And let's look at most added. Here we go. Eduardo Rodriguez 1, Vogelsong 2. I didn't realize just how good. I knew Vogelsong had been good, but he's been like awesome for like 5 or 6 starts now.
Yeah, whole month.
And I don't think you stack against him tonight. I forget, who are they playing? The Cardinals? No, the Cardinals are playing the Braves.
Hang on, the Pirates.
Yeah, the Pirates. Like
I agree.
Yeah, I think you got to wait and see, but we were burned by Vogelsong last year, and Al, we're never going to let it happen again.
Just this week.
Just this week.
Then after this week, ditch him.
Okay, Mike Pelfrey, number 3, 38% owned. He's another one who's starting tonight.
38?
Yeah.
I think it was 22 on Friday. Now, granted, he's a two-star pitcher, so I kind of get it. But
yeah.
Wow.
I can't understand it. He's pitching well.
The slugging against him, I think, is 335 or something in that neighborhood. Wow. So, yeah, it's... would explain the success, but I think the ground ball tendencies can only take him so far for so long.
Kyle Hendricks is 4. Sean Tolleson, Rangers closer, is 5. Mike Bolsinger, 6. A lot of pitchers, a lot of two-star pitchers. Tanner Roark, 7. Jaime Garcia, he's pitching tonight. He's 8th. Mike Wright is 9th. So that's the one that really, well, Pelfrey too, but I get it because he's 2 starts. Maybe if you need to pick someone up today, maybe Wright is expendable. You guys seem to think he's not as good as his numbers, and there's a chance he goes to the bullpen.
Or to the minors.
Or to the minors, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm not... I wouldn't be opposed to dropping Wright even if he was going to keep his rotation spot, because I feel like some of these pitchers, Roark, Bolsinger, and Rodriguez, I guess, who, you know, 2 of those 3 are already owned in more leagues than him. Or I guess all 3 are.
Chad Bettis. I'm sorry, Scott. Chad Bettis is next. So that's another guy who I forgot to mention earlier, but out of nowhere, great start. And I think it's like 2 really good ones in a row for Chad Bettis for Colorado. You know, sometimes, guys, I stress out over who to pick up. But in fantasy, if I see SP, COL, I just skip them.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too. If Bettis pitched for a different team where he wasn't going to be pitching half his games and on the moon, I'd feel differently potentially, because back-to-back 8 inning starts with 7 Ks, and there might be some explanation for it. He spent this spring rebuilding his motion so that he got more, he was taking his momentum more toward the plate, and he wasn't part of the 5th starter competition because of that. They kind of had him working off to the side on this, and we're seeing a better pitcher now, so I don't think those are probably unrelated events. Because he used to be a pretty good prospect, and it's not like he's just coming out of nowhere.
After Bettis, Foltynewicz, and then Hector Santiago is now 80% owned. He's having a nice year, guys. Do you buy Hector Santiago?
I'm starting to.
80% even for, not 2 starts this week, right? Just 1.
No, 1 start. He was 2 starts last week.
Yeah, that's right. So for him to, his ownership to go up another 10%, I'm not buying that at all.
He pitched Friday. So he does have 25 walks in 62 innings, but 5 straight quality starts for Santiago and, 80% owned. Okay. So you think that's a little high. Would you rather have, Roark or Santiago?
Yeah, I'd rather have Roark.
On points league, I would too, yeah.
We got Chichi Gonzalez. We didn't really talk about him. I'm sorry. We kind of skipped Chichi Gonzalez. Okay, what'd you think about Chichi Gonzalez? And a lot of walks, but not a lot of hits or runs. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, I thought overall it was really an impressive start, despite the fact that he walked a guy, I think, every inning, or at least, you know, 1 per inning. And, but there was this pattern where he would walk somebody and then he would recompose himself. So it's not a game you want to play all the time, but given his track record, I don't expect him to have control issues.
His numbers were pretty bad in the minors, though. But prior to this call-up, I mean, previous years, obviously they look good, and he had a really good spring, so I don't know how to reconcile all of that. But I'm not rushing to pick him up, because I do feel like those minor league numbers are something to keep in mind.
And last guy I want to highlight on the most added list is Carson Smith, because 2 opportunities this weekend for Fernando Rodney, and he got 1 save, and he pitched a scoreless inning in a non-save situation, but he gave up a hit and a walk in each of those outings. And I'm sorry, I know Lloyd McClendon seems He makes it sound like changing closers is the most unthinkable, ridiculous, crazy idea in baseball history. But his closer stinks. And I think that a change, it's certainly not out of the question. It can't be. And Carson Smith's got really good numbers. Do you think it would be him? If it were him, I mean, it's like A.J. Ramos. He's been really good, and you could have a great closer on your hands.
I like the comparison. I think he is clearly the next guy in line, and I think it's going to happen sometime this year. It's only so long, I think, that Rodney is going to get away with this, and I think he's doing it on reputation and just the fact that he's in the role. But, you know, we've seen this before with guys who seem to just have, a very long leash, but that leash does end eventually.
Then most drop list. Time for the most drop list.
Yep.
Joe Kelly, Kyle Loesch, Mike Leake. Oh, I have a piece of advice about fantasy baseball for everybody. Very important. Stop whatever you're doing and write this down.
Okay.
If you see Mike Fiers on waivers in your league and you want to add him, please pick up Mike Fiers and not Mike Leake. Because that's what I did yesterday. Because I got an email notification that said somebody else in my league had picked up Mike Fiers. And I said, what? And then I went back and said, I picked up Mike Leake instead of Mike Fiers. So shame on me for that. That was pretty stupid. This is an interesting one. Shane Green is the fourth most dropped pitcher. What the heck is going on with Shane Green?
I don't want to find out. I was among those dropping him.
Okay.
Make him someone else's problem, because way too many ups and downs. And really, the ups aren't quite high enough to justify the downs.
And the rest of the most drop list bores me, with the exception of Ian Kennedy, who's now 71% owned. Maybe a good guy to stash. Hope he turns it around.
Yeah, I think so, if you've got the room. Jake Marisnik, I think that one's kind of interesting, from 62 down to 48%. He was probably a little bit over-owned, but it's understandable, because he had gotten off to such a hot start. I don't think he's a bad stash either, because I think that power-speed combination, that potential is still there. And, yeah, with Tucker playing consistently, Marisnik is losing some playing time. Mm. But I think long-term it'll be Colby Rasmus that's the biggest loser in that situation. And I think Marisnik could have a nice rest of season.
Are the Astros going to win the NL West? No. AL West.
Yes.
Are they going to win the AL West? Getting hard to doubt them. And Dallas Keuchel, holy heck, what a start he had.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I very, very reluctantly traded Dallas Keuchel this weekend in its Tout Wars. So it's relevant because that's an OBP league. And I'm way overstocked on pitching and need hitting pretty desperately. I traded Keuchel straight up for Mark Teixeira. OBP league.
Oh no, I don't like it.
What do you think?
I don't like it at all. No,
we talked a couple weeks ago about selling high on Keuchel, and I realize it just keeps getting better. Scott's doing the SMH.
I don't like it because if Teixeira stays healthy, I do think he'll have a good OBP.
Uh-huh.
If he stays healthy, you might win the trade. You might. But
well, no. I guess if Keuchel slows down enough himself and these 11 strikeout game that he had last time, you know, he goes back to being more of a 5 strikeout per game pitcher. Yeah, okay, I maybe you don't lose the trade, but I feel like rather than selling high on Keuchel, the other guy sold even higher on Teixeira.
Yeah,
I understand it's a need-based trade, and you know, maybe that's the best you could get for Keuchel.
To be fair to Al, Keuchel's on base percentage is horrible.
That's true.
So you were a major upgrade there. All right, we'll see how that plays out.
That was my logic.
Okay, good stuff. I'm just going to, we're running out of time. So grab bag here. I'm going to throw some stuff at you. Michael Franco is 53% owned. He's 2 for his last 27. Is he over-owned?
I'll say no.
No?
Okay. I won't make any interesting noises. I'll just say no.
How about Justin Bour, Joe Panik, Steven Sousa? They all had good weekends. They're all playing well.
Yeah, Justin Bour. I can't see... Maybe in a roto league, I could see picking him up as like a corner infield type. But I'm not ready to pick him up in like points leagues yet, but man, it's he's somebody to keep an eye on because he's one of those guys who looked like he might be this quadruple A player, great numbers in the minors, and then just never really does anything in the majors. But now, Dan Jennings, I have this theory that the whole reason Dan Jennings was made manager is because he wanted Mike Redmond to start Justin Bour, and he wouldn't. And the Marlins were like, yeah, we want him to start too. Here, you want him to start? Okay, we'll make you manager, so he'll start. So the whole thing is just about Justin Bour playing. It's a bad theory, but...
Yeah, I think it had... Actually, I heard it had something to do with bringing Henderson Alvarez back, whether or not to bring him back.
You're being real? You're being...
Yeah, yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hope I'm remembering that right. It was just a rumor anyway.
So who wanted to bring him back?
I think Jennings did, and Redmond wanted him to stay on the DL for another... It was Alvarez. He wanted him to make another rehab start.
Well...
Yeah, that might not have, if that's true, might not be such a good point in Jennings' favor.
Is Julio Teheran droppable?
No.
Is Gio Gonzalez droppable in a 10-team league?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, 10-team league? I'll still say no. But I was quick to answer that.
Are you starting Anibal Sanchez this week?
No.
Do you think Carlos Rodon is underowned at 71%?
No.
I agree. He's not.
Do you think Jimmy Nelson is underowned at 68%?
I don't think he's underowned because I think there's just too many weeks you can't start him because of his terrible splits against lefties.
How about Jesse Chavez at 62% owned?
Yeah, a little underowned. I'm still not rushing to pick him up in a roto league, but he deserves to be owned in more roto leagues than he probably is owned in.
Is Odrisa Mertespagne going to lose his spot to Brandon Morrow?
I would assume he would.
Does anybody care about Jeremy Hellickson?
No.
That was an easy one. And would you like to answer emails?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Scott was
telling you. I was going to say no, but you know.
Tough, Scott. You got to do it anyway.
I'm looking through some of the notes we're passing over, and I don't really have anything to say about Charlie Morton, but I just love it that his nickname is Ground Chuck.
That is a pretty sweet nickname. Emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Matt in Louisiana. Dear Kevin Gausman, Renato, and Dear Gausman, Renato, and Nola.
That's all LSU, right?
Yeah, he said, don't be afraid to read my LSU pitching prospect reference above just because you like Thug You. Yeah, we're not...
Who's about to get ousted by an Ivy League team, by the way?
How do you know?
How do I know?
How do you know about that? Why are you even...
I have the internet.
I
just recently acquired it.
Scott has the internet. He has no idea what's going on in the NCAA baseball regionals.
I have no idea, yeah.
And Miami will win tonight, Al, and they will advance to the Supers, and all will be well. But they're not Thug You anymore. They've cleaned up their act. So here's the question. Kind of wish they were Thug You, by the way. They were winning. 10-team head-to-head 5x5 categories league. I have two NA slots to stash any minor league prospect. I currently have Corey Seager and Miguel Sano, but Peter O'Brien is available. Should I drop either for O'Brien? It's not a keeper league.
Okay. Yeah, that's crucial to know because Seager and Sano are both much better prospects than O'Brien. But I do think O'Brien has the best chance of the three to contribute this year. I think the one with the least chance of contributing is actually Sano, because he's not tearing it up in the minors, and Plouffe obviously is tearing it up in the majors. So I think if Seager keeps doing what he's doing at AAA, eventually the Dodgers are going to have to figure out a way to work him in.
Who is going to have a better year, Cano or Sano? Because I'm starting to wonder.
So even if Sano doesn't get called up...
Right.
Yeah, no, I think still Cano.
Okay. Question from... No name here. Is Torii Hunter for real? Would you add him in a 10-team head-to-head categories league? Would you drop either Rusne Castillo or Alex Rios for him? Oh, this is from last place team in need of great second half.
I don't think I'd drop either of those for him.
Nope, I wouldn't either. Not in a 10-teamer.
From Chris, 10-team head-to-head points league. I was offered McCutcheon for Keuchel and AJ Burnett. What do you think?
I think, what are you waiting for?
he does not have good starting pitching, though, after Scherzer and Lester. Well, it depends how you feel about Kazmir. Kazmir fires Jimmy Nelson, Matt Moore. So he leaves himself, trading Keuchel and Burnett, himself pretty thin.
It's a 10-team league, so I think he can eventually, you know, find some good pitching on waivers.
Yeah, I agree.
Kyle, who's the best option as a third outfielder? Will Myers, Matt Kemp, or Rusne Castillo?
I'm going to stick with Kemp.
I guess I will, too. That's a tough one.
From Chris, Gray the Trade, dear Clarence, Alabama, and Drexel.
Clarence, Alabama, and Drexel.
Sounds like Godfather to me. Italian, authentic Italian names.
Are you joking?
Yes.
Okay, just make it sure.
I'll look it up. But here's the question. I traded McCutcheon. Oh, it's a Grade the Trade. Gave up McCutcheon and Alex Wood for Corey Kluber. Head-to-head points league wins and quality starts are both 10 points.
What?
So give up McCutcheon and Alex Wood for Corey Kluber.
That is a nutty league. Okay. I mean, I think McCutcheon for Kluber is a pretty fair deal, even without Wood. Oh, McCutcheon and Wood for Kluber.
It's a good trade. In this format, I mean, quality starts and wins are 10
points.
But
other people are kind of similarly advantaged.
Yeah, and we don't know, like, I have a hard time believing, like, that's the only, those are the only stats that are worth a different number of points than what we're used to, too.
Yeah, I would just on the face of it give it a C-.
Okay. Scott, grade?
Yeah, okay, C-.
By the way, Clarence, Alabama, and Drexel are from True Romance, a 1993 movie that appears to have Val Kilmer in it.
Okay.
I never heard of it. From Iman in Park Slope, which two would you rather have? Bryant and Scherzer or Donaldson and Harvey?
Donaldson and Harvey.
Yes, sir.
Nice choices to have.
And which show is better, Empire or Game of Thrones?
I naturally have to abstain.
I have seen neither myself, so...
And I've only seen Game of Thrones, so I'll say Game of Thrones. From Adam... Dear Penguin, Chestnut, and Billy. Chestnut?
I mean, yeah, I'm whiffing today.
Penguin and Billy sounds like Billy Madison, but I don't remember a Chestnut. Is Brandon Crawford for real? Is he a keeper or sell high on Brandon Crawford?
Oh, sell high if you can. I don't really think he's for real.
Not really.
Not really real.
Not. He's, you know, a figment of your imagination.
I don't know. Penguin, Chestnut, and Billy, no idea.
Batman villains.
No. From Joe Charbonneau from Queens, New York. Dear Randy, Jeff, and Al. I know who Al is. Monday.
Well, okay, so it says Monday mustaches, so that's a clue?
Maybe.
Because then Al would be Al Roboski, right?
Yes. That's who I was thinking, too.
But I might just be completely off on the whole thing.
In leagues where you can and with rosters big enough, rank these players worthy of mustaches. So these are mustaches.
Randy Johnson, who's the Jeff?
Nelson?
Could be.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, Carlos Correa, Steven Matz, Patrick Corbin, Andrew Heaney, Matt Wieters, Brandon Morrow, Daniel Norris, and Peter O'Brien. Give me your top three stashes there. Correa, Matz, Corbin, Heaney, Wieters, Morrow, Norris, O'Brien.
Wieters, Matz, O'Brien.
Whoa.
No Correa?
Yeah. I don't know how much time Correa's going to be up this year.
I think
more
the latest,
the other.
The latest really? From John Heyman was like right after Super 2. So maybe that's like mid-June.
Yeah.
Well.
I'd go Correa actually first, and then Wieters and Corbin would be my third.
I suppose, yeah, Correa probably should be up there. So, later, O'Brien.
DFS! DFS! Quickly on O'Brien, though, now that you've brought him up. Sorry, and then we'll do DFS. I understand, you know, two catchers so bad, two catcher league, you want to pick him up. It's just still the catchers who have been called up this year have really not done well. Pilecki has been horrible. Swihart.
That's true. I mean, that can happen a lot of times with catchers, but I think the bigger concern is that apparently Peter O'Brien decided himself this weekend that he's not going to catch anymore. He's just going to be an outfielder. So.
Oh, I thought he was. Well, then how are they going to?
Yeah, that's wow. That's completely counter what I read just a couple days ago. Crazy.
Yeah. So they already have five. Well, when Jake Lamb gets back this week, they're going to have five outfielders for three spots. So how is O'Brien working his way in? If he does work his way in this year, he still has that catcher eligibility for this year, and you can take advantage of it. But I'm not sure how that's going to happen.
Interesting. Now it's time for some DFS. Have you looked over the slate? Anybody?
Looked up over the pitching matchups, but there's a lot of great pitchers today, so.
Yeah. I don't recommend Kershaw. I don't expect him to be bad at Colorado.
Right.
But he's the second most expensive pitcher behind Felix Hernandez, who's facing the Yankees. Do you like, when you look at the prices, Garrett Richards has the capability to be amazing. That's who I'm going with, but I don't have a lot of conviction in it. Because you don't want to have a dud at pitcher tonight when there are so many great ones, or there are a number of great ones, great options. What do you think?
I agree with you on that. I think Richards is not a bad choice, but I think if I'm going to go cheap, I just might go all the way down to a $7,100 Jaime Garcia.
Oh, but Richards, I mean.
No, Richards obviously I would have more confidence in, but I just feel like if I'm going to go that route. I mean, Richards is a good start. I like Garcia, and I even kind of like Clay Buchholz at 79. Against the Twins who don't hit righties.
Jacob DeGrom was the one I was looking at at night. I mean, Felix Hernandez at 12,000 is the obvious one, but 12,000 is a lot. Jacob DeGrom, 9,900. You're still saving a lot there. And getting a pitcher who had double-digit strikeouts. Well, he fell a little. He was 9 Ks last start, 11 Ks two starts ago. So a really high strikeout pitcher who's been pitching well.
But he's so much better at home than he is on the road.
But it's San Diego.
It is, and they are not exactly hitting the ball that well.
No.
Garrett Cole at the Giants, also kind of interesting, facing Vogelsong. Yeah. There are a lot of... I don't know that you can go wrong. The one that I would definitely avoid, Kershaw I would avoid for the price, and Pineda, I don't see him winning against Hernandez, but he can still have a good start. I will not start Jordan Zimmermann. Toronto at Washington, Zimmermann, a pretty high-priced pitcher. That's probably one I'm avoiding.
I need strikeouts in FanDuel. 1 point per strikeout compared to only 1 point per inning. You want a strikeout pitcher.
Right. Yeah. So maybe you want to avoid Zimmermann. I have a lineup from this morning. It will change a little bit, but the Dodgers are not, the prices do not reflect their ballpark. They're in Colorado. They're facing Kyle Kendrick and they are normal price. So I've got Adrian Gonzalez at 3,800. I've got Howie Kendrick at 2,800. I've got Justin Turner at 2,600 and Alex Guerrero at 2,900.
Wow. They had been jacking up the visitor at Coors Field.
Yep.
I don't know if this is a change in approach for their pricing. But yeah, those are, you want to take advantage of that for sure. Dodgers stack.
Yeah, Dodger stack, righties. Well, I don't know if it's really fair to say righties or lefties, but I think any good hitter against Jose Urena, he's at home against the Cubs, but righties right now are batting 522 at bats.
That would be my next stack for sure.
Yep.
And I just was looking, there's a number of catchers who are sort of expensive, but Miguel Montero at 2,800 looks like a good price to me.
Wilson Ramos is also 2,800. If you care, he's 9-for-13 with a home run against R.A. Dickey. And I think the Nationals are a pretty good stack against Dickey, who's been awful on the road this year and really just not having a good year at all.
Yeah, he's not.
Makes sense.
So right now I have Jorge Soler. See, I have Trout and Soler as my other two outfielders with Guerrero. I'm not going to do that, I don't think. Soler, I mean, it could be a good day for him, but he just hasn't been good enough. I'll probably pick two outfielders who are, you know, in the 3,800 range rather than 2,800 and 5,000. But I think if you get some Dodgers in your lineup, you can spend big on a starting pitcher and go from there. And if you guys don't have any more thoughts, I'll tell everybody to watch at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Why don't you go do that?
Give me one more stack.
How about the Astros against Ubaldo Jimenez?
I just don't think Ubaldo Jimenez gives up enough runs. like he might walk a lot of guys and might not be that good for fantasy, but he is at least keeping the runs off the board, you know?
He is. I just think he could regress big time. I mean, just regardless of opponent. But the Astros, I mean, they strike out a lot, but they're you know, not a bad hitting team, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could see them putting up big numbers.
Okay, Al, Scott, thank you, guys.
It's been a pleasure, Adam.
Thank you.
And we're back tomorrow with yet another Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you then.